Music is all around us. It's in the trees, in the air, and in the water. And all it takes is the desire to listen for it. Noreen Braun does just that. She listens to nature and applies it to her music, combining narrative and experimental works to create something unique and beautiful. After her mother's passing, Noreen created Ascending Lullaby, a song exploring the transition from one life to the next. Let's get into it.
Well, thanks so much, Ryan. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. My name's Noreen Braun, and I'm a singer-songwriter. I'm based in Vancouver, and I've just recorded my 14th album called Journey Toward Wholeness, and it is being released next month in May. And I have a single, few singles out, but the latest is Ascending Lullaby, which is a tribute to my late mother. So I was very fortunate during the pandemic to receive several grants. So I recorded and released. This will be my third album since 2020. So I kept myself busy.
I was listening to Send It Lullaby a little bit this morning. And, you know, I think it is powerful and amazing to create a work for a family member about that transition from life into death and the journey that we had with them along the way. Walk me through the process of writing this song. I mean, you were inspired by your mother's passing to write this piece, but what sort of feelings and melodies and things were inspiring you as you're writing it, your lyrics and everything? Walk me through the process.
My mom passed away 3 years ago in 2021, and it was during the COVID, the height of it. She was in Calgary, I live in Vancouver, and we made a trip out to her, and she was really declining. And I was just so grateful that they allowed us in with full PPE to be with her for the last 3 weeks as she transitioned to hospice. Just being with her as she let go of this world was a real gift, and watching her fight to be alive. And it was a really beautiful, painful, of course, but also very beautiful. When mom went into hospice from the hospital, mom was a huge lover of birds her whole life. And especially in her elder years, she had a beautiful little garden in front of her house with a bird bath. And so she would watch, she'd go out every day, faithfully cleaning it. And then she'd sit in her swivel rocker, turn it around outside her window and watch it. And she'd call me in the evening and tell me what birds happened or what squirrels were by. So it was a real source of joy for her. And so when she moved into this hospice, which we didn't know, but there happened to be this huge bird feeder with that, which was just full of birds. And so although she was so ill and in so much pain, as soon as she rolled into the bed from the stretcher and she saw the birds feeding at the feeder, her face was just so lit up. And it just, you know, here in great suffering, there was also great joy. And she was so grateful to see these birds. And it always brought me a sense of comfort to know that in her the last thing she saw was her beautiful birds sort of waiting for her. So that was sort of what I wanted to try and capture, is this, you know. And, you know, I think we all, our inner child is sort of what is being called home. And so I wanted to make it into a lullaby. Certainly when I was little, mom would sing a lullaby to me. And so I was sort of wanting to sing a lullaby to her, although it's not really, it has elements of a lullaby in it, but I wanted it to be gentle and welcoming, and the way I hope our transitions are into the next world, whatever that is going to be for us. Certainly the birds, I think, were a very positive sign for her. So
that's the poetic part of life, right? Our parents raise us and care for us when we're born to become the adults we are today. And then as they get older, we return the favors for them, helping them in that period of time as they're aging. And I think there's a book by Robert Munsch that kind of also follows that story. And I just think it's so beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's our time to give back. And when they're gone, you realize like that time is even more precious than when you're in it. It's like, wow. And I'm so grateful I had the times that I had with mom. So, yeah. So I wanted to sort of capture that in this song, Ascending Lullaby.
Well, it's important to, and I think for a lot of people listen to it, maybe it'll help reflect on those moments we have with our parents. Not to say that everyone's relationship with their parents is positive, but for those who do have a positive relationship, the importance of cherishing those and, you know, holding on to it.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching a video and it was talking about, you know, after the age of 18, you barely see your family. Like most of the time you see your like parents and things are within those early years. Once you're an adult, you know, sometimes because of circumstance, you see them once a month, twice a year, maybe depending on there. And that's a little bit sad to think about someone that we spend so much time with in the beginning of our lives, we don't really see for the majority of it. So for myself, I've been trying really deliberately to at least call my mom every day.
Yeah, it makes a difference because they're the people, you know, in the beginning who shaped you, really, who taught you about yourself and taught you about the world. And, you know, you'll always have those memories your whole life. Even when they're gone, they're still there. And you remember how you learned to be in the world. Yeah. And so for that, you know, we owe a lot of gratitude.
You were mentioning a whippoorwill, and I know you talk about it a little bit in your summary that you sent to me. Why a whippoorwill?
There is a very famous Hank Williams song. I hear that lonesome whippoorwill. Hear that lonesome, you know, that in the, and there's a train coming. And so it's the whole idea is like he's so lonesome. And both mom and I really love that song. Mom wasn't a huge Hank Williams fan, but she liked that song. And I just love the lyric about the whippoorwill. And then when I started to research the whippoorwill, I found out that in Eastern Canada and the Eastern US, that it's actually close to an endangered list because of industrial development and cities expanding. It's really kind of decimating the whippoorwill's range. So I wanted to use that. So hopefully that people will, you know, be like me and go research a little bit about, well, who is this bird that she's singing about? And what is this whippoorwill? We don't have them in Western Canada, but my mom did live for a while in Eastern Canada. And so she knows those birds and they have a beautiful sound. And I just wanted to sort of sing about that bird because they're such a rare thing to hear. And also there's also lots of folklore around them as well, but just to raise awareness that they are endangered, almost endangered. And so to be mindful of that, to the people up and coming in the world, to make space for all of the birds so we don't lose their song forever.
Yeah, when I was quickly looking up, it's like a whippoorwill. I don't think I've ever heard of this bird before. But the second I heard its song, I was like, I've heard that. I've heard that in the wilderness, like exploring, going for hikes and things. It's like, I've heard that, how elusive it is. Like sometimes something so iconic, you never really know what it's connected to.
So that was part of it as well, is to bring awareness to that.
I think that's what's so powerful about a lot of your music is that awareness aspect that you're talking about, the earth, nature, our impact on it, and taking those moments, just like we should take moments to reflect and connect with our parents, we should take moments to reflect and connect with Mother Nature, with the earth, about the world around us.
I think especially now we're culturally, everybody's on their phone and everything's so quick and fast. And some people are just, I mean, they're walking down the street on their phone. They're not even present in their environment at all. You know, they almost get run over. But I think that's sort of indicative of a lot of us is just, we're just so detached from our natural surroundings. And I think the more that we can get in touch with our natural surroundings, I think the better for our mental health, the better for our physical health, and the better for the planet, because we start to take notice of things and care about them.
Oh, I agree completely. There was a trend, came back a couple months ago, but it was more prevalent during the pandemic. It was called silent walking. And it was like this revolutionary idea of not even having headphones in when you go for a walk and just listening to things. And like,
imagine
you know,
that.
that is the struggle with the modern age, that technology has become so ingrained into our existence that the idea of letting everything go is a challenge and can be scary sometimes for people. I mean, I was just on that cusp of growing up with some technology, but not having it so just immersed within my everyday existence. So, you know, I have the ability to disconnect, put it off and not worry about it too much. But, you know, yeah, you're mentioning a lot of kids don't really have that. It's become the phone is almost a part of us, and we're seeing that there are consequences to it, not just the algorithms and how that changes our brain, but not being connected, not feeling a part of nature.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I think if you become too detached, you start to lose empathy. And when we lose empathy, that's really our connection to each other and to the planet. So I think that's sort of one of the downfalls. I mean, I think technology can be a really beautiful thing and enhance the world, but it can also really be detrimental. And I think because we're so bombarded, when you are on the internet or on your phone, you just have access to so much information. You can't possibly feel it all, or you'd explode. And so you have to detach. But if we detach too much, we lose our humanity.
It's about finding that balance. And yeah, technology is just another tool that could be utilized for ill or good. And I feel it's unfortunately trending towards the ill. Or I mean, not necessarily just trending, but it is going towards that ground with like AI and how people have become so susceptible to images and things without even questioning what they're seeing. And it's just interesting because, you know, we have so many conspiracies out there about things where it's like, well, there's actual information about this and you're questioning it. But when it's like something that's clearly fake, you don't question it, you absorb it completely. It's like, what's going on here?
It's strange. It's a strange phenomena.
This was your third album that you're going to be working on, or that'll be releasing, correct?
During the pandemic. Yeah. No, during the pandemic. It's actually my 14th album.
14th album. Wow. So third during the pandemic.
Yeah. And 14th okay. In my career.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's called Journey Toward Wholeness. And I was really fortunate to receive a grant from First Peoples Cultural Council last year to write it and record it. So that's how I spent a lot of last year. And it's the album is all about my life as an adoptee and meeting my Métis family late in life. So in terms of ascending lullaby in the context, it's a concept album, obviously with such a broad idea. When mom passed, like my mom is who adopted me, and what mom passed on Easter morning, the day before my birthday 3 years ago, the day after my birthday, I received a note from my cousin, because I'd been wondering who my birth father was. There was no name. I never had an idea who he was, where he came from. I just wanted to know that history. But the day after mom passed, I get a message that my dad was alive. My cousin knew who he was, and he knew of me, and he wanted to meet me. And he lived in the Paw, Manitoba. And so all of a sudden, this door closed, and this other door opened. And so it was quite remarkable. It wasn't something I had ever intended to meet my paternal lineage. But that's been sort of the quest the past 3 years, was getting to know my father and learning about my ancestry. And it's been quite amazing. And so I wanted to sort of capture some of those experiences in song. And that's what Journey Toward Wholeness is looking at my life as an adoptee and then looking at my life connecting to my Métis culture. And it was interesting, last year, when I first met my father, he goes, "Oh, this is your great-great-great-grandfather, who's Pierre Patois, one of Riel's Council of 40, and who I really didn't have a lot of information about or understanding of. And so last year, so he sends me this, so I see this picture, and you know, it's really cool. And we go to Winnipeg, and all of a sudden, everywhere, there's this picture of my great-great-great-grandfather. It's like, he's in the parliament. He's in the forts. It's like, so it was really quite amazing to not have any concept of who I come from and who I descend from, to suddenly see his face everywhere. And we were boat ride up and down the river, the two rivers there in Winnipeg. And I happened to mention it to the tour guide and some people sitting there that Pierre Patois was my ancestor. And they said, "Oh, you're royalty here in Winnipeg." So I thought that was, so I told my dad that, and he says, "Yeah, you're Métis royalty down there." So, so it's quite amazing. But yeah, so the song, the album is very chill, very much about what does it mean to grow up without a bloodline? What is it like to belong somewhere that you don't know of? Yeah, so that's what I was coming to express, yeah.
And I think the interesting part about your story is that it's kind of a reflection of the human experience, that we never know how our lives will change or what path we'll kind of find ourselves on, regardless of what part of life or the path we're already on is. If you're younger or older, there's always opportunities or chances for something new to come in.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what's around the corner. Like, I would never have thought any of this that's happened. It was like kind of daunting. All I wanted was a name. So I could like research and then I'd be like, oh, okay, this is interesting. I wasn't expecting a whole wealth of ancestry and family connection. And now I've met so many cousins and so many aunties. And yeah, so it's been beyond what I had expected. And I think, you know, my mother had always supported me in connecting with my bloodline. But as an adoptee, I always had a real sense of loyalty. So I never really kind of went down that path with too much enthusiasm. I don't know, just a feeling. I think I know a lot of adoptees have that kind of feeling of an intense loyalty to the family who raised them and adopted them. And so it kind of, I almost felt like when mom passed it, she had some kind of hand in it from the other side directing it. I don't
A
know.
door opening.
Yeah, that's the how it plays in the lineup of the album. But it's been a real blessing, and I just hadn't expected any of it at all. So.
I like your explorative aspect to a lot of your music, like Songs for Trees, those moments of just listening to the
Yeah.
forest, like the music that can come just from the wind, the sounds of water, the rustling of leaves or a thunderstorm.
If the music's all out there, right? It's always around us if we're just open to it.
Well, it's just we're instruments for the universe, right? You know, early humans creating songs from the world around them, you know, the feelings they get from the thunder, the fear and awe of it, the whimsy of nature, the life-giving nature of water. And it's just something that's always been in there, those stories we tell about our experiences.
And when we take the time to just sit and be with it, it just fills us. Yeah, you know? Yeah. We just have to take a moment every day and just be where we are. And nature will repay us. Yeah.
What's kind of next on the table for you, Noreen? Your album's coming out next month, which is always exciting, but there are other projects or initiatives or, you know, conversations you're having with people that you're really excited about and looking forward to throughout the rest of the year?
Yeah, the focus will be on doing like the videos and the promotion of this new album. I'm actually going in the studio to record a song, and there's this with Steve Dawson. He's a Canadian, but he lives in Nashville now. He's having this hen house pop-up where you go in and you record for like an hour with these really Jedi musicians kind of.
Oh, that's
So
fun.
yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm doing a song there. I'm also part of I have a background in mental health and addictions, and I'm part of a it's going to be starting in the fall. I don't think I'm at liberty to say exactly yet what it is, but it's a group of academics and artists coming together to look at a healing in the Métis community, but also how it can help affect everybody on the globe kind of thing, and how we label ourselves in terms of mental health and how we work to overcome things, traumas, as well as becoming whole in a way. So that's
Okay,
going
so
to be,
that's also going to have music involved in there, sort of
yeah,
music
well, music,
therapy.
all sorts of arts. So music, painting, filmmaking, poetry, sculpting, all sorts of different artisans are coming on board to be part of it. So sort of like a mass project where we're all creating it
Oh, that
together. And
sounds
then as
fun.
well as there's an academic part of it. So
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, fun isn't the right word. Fascinating, interesting,
It'll probably be fun too.
power.
Yeah.
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 Well, I think art is, and being a creative in any sense can be incredibly healing and a good way to understand your feelings and emotion. Because if you want to be creative, you have to have an understanding of who you are and what sort of story you want to tell, regardless of the medium that you're working in.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, usually it's our and ex usually art is an expression of our feelings, of our experience in the world, whatever that is. Yeah, definitely. I think there's a link. There has to be, otherwise it's kind of just dead.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't be able to have art if you didn't have emotion in it, right? Otherwise, it's just sound and it. I mean, I think most people can see a movie, see an art piece, listen to music where the enthusiasm or care wasn't put into it, or there's some sort of connection or driver, whether that's, great happiness or great trauma in there, when it's just kind of those like, oh, I just created this. It's just mechanical at that point. It just lacks the vibrancy of life in it.
Whether it's art or anything, the more in touch with our feelings, the richer our life and the more colorful and vibrant it is. I mean, at times it's painful. That's a natural part of life, but at times, there's great joy and great ecstasy. But we have to be in touch with our feelings to experience those things.
Well, Noreen, thank you again for taking the time to chat with me. It's always a pleasure. Where can people go to find out more about your work? And, when is your upcoming album coming out?
Thanks again for having me. It's always a joy to talk with you. We always have really nice conversations, so appreciate that, Ryan. Noreen Braun, Norine Braun, Braun.com, is my main website. So I also have, like, if you sign up, I send out a monthly kind of newsletter, as well. Any digital online place known to mankind has my music. So just put my name in there, and you'll find me everywhere. And also on YouTube, social media, I'm pretty much anywhere. If you just put my name, I'll pop up.
Fantastic,
And yeah,
amazing.
May 24th is when the album releases. So Journey Toward Wholeness. I've got a few singles out. I'll be dropping a couple more singles and then the album.
Have any stories you'd like us to share or communities we should highlight? Leave a comment on our social media or reach out to us on our website. I'm Ryan Funk. This was You Talk, and have yourself a good one.